So as a church, we have been studying the book of Judges over the past few weeks here in worship, and we have encountered a number of characters with complex identities, marked by varied stories of their lives. So I need to admit that up until this sermon series, I have never actually read through the book of Judges. I've read varied accounts from my childhood on up. And then when Pastor Monica shared with me that she was going to be studying Judges, I was like, oh, interesting. And I was even more excited when I found out that she was calling it the Game of Judges, using Game of Thrones along with the scriptures. Because I need to put something out there for you all to understand, which is why I was so excited about this. I love Game of Thrones. Love Game of Thrones. You can ask Gary. I am emotionally invested in the stories of this series. I've read three of the books. I've read the entire series, or watched the entire series all the way through. We're halfway through it again. I've wept during episodes of the show. I'm wearing a shirt. I wore it on purpose today. I got this shirt when we were at the Game of Thrones Music Experience concert a few weeks ago. That's how much I love Game of Thrones. And what gets me so hooked on it, part of why I love it so much, is probably one of the same reasons that gets any of you hooked on a book or a TV show or a movie. It's the characters and the web that is spun through the stories of their lives. And the characters in the Ice and Fire series, which is where Game of Thrones comes from, are super complicated. You find yourself feeling empathy and compassion for the most flawed, unsympathetic characters. And there are characters who do questionable things for what they believe are the right reasons. Even your heroes that you love throughout the whole thing drive you crazy because there's one character flaw that threatens to ruin everything they've done up until that point. And I think that part of why we're drawn to certain characters and stories is because they remind us sometimes of ourselves, or at least remind us of someone that we know. They point out the traits and the truths of the human experience. And the same can be said for characters that we've met in Scripture. People have discussed and studied characters in Scripture and their accounts for generations. We read their stories and we are met with complex situations and complex individuals. So this week, to end our series on the book of Judges, we will be talking about the account of Samson, the last judge of Israel. Samson was born to parents from the Israelite tribe of Dan. His mother was unable to bear children when an angel of the Lord came to her and revealed that she would give birth to a son. She was instructed that her son would be a Nazarite, consecrated and set apart for God. Samson grew up with the Spirit of God upon him. He served God as judge of Israel, leading battles fought against the Philistines, their neighboring enemy. Samson was a skilled fighter who possessed unnatural physical strength. If you read through his account in Judges, there's the story of his run-in with a lion, defeating 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, which is a really odd story. He could snap ropes like they were rubber bands. He was clever, and he was quick-thinking. But Samson was also impatient. He had a weakness for women, and he often sought revenge. In Game of Thrones, the character of Jaime Lannister is with us from the beginning of the series all the way to the end. He, like Samson, is a skilled swordsman and fighter. He was a member of the King's Guard, taking the vow when he was just a teenager. He was given the nickname Kingslayer after being found to have killed the king that he was serving under. He was often called by this nickname rather than his given name. But throughout the whole series, we see this redemption arc in this character of Jaime. We see him shift from being a cold, an arrogant, seemingly hateful man to someone who's really softened. We find out that his reason for killing the king was to protect King's Landing from his rage. And we see that deep down, he is a man that cares about his oath, he cares about his family, and he was especially close to his brother, who was a little person and in the show's story, is despised by other members of the family and people in society. So halfway through the series, we find ourselves cheering for him. He's now one of our heroes. But his downfall ends up being his relationship with his sister. We're going to watch a clip. And in this clip, Jamie talks about all that he has done for this relationship and why he is choosing to make the choice that he does.
They're going to destroy that city. You know they will.
Have you ever run away from a fight?
You're not like your sister. You're not. You're better than she is. You're a good man and you can't save her. You don't need to die with her. Stay here. Stay with me. Please. Stay.
I think I'm a good man. I pushed a boy out a tower window, crippled him for life, for Cersei. I strangled my cousin with my own hands, just to get back to Cersei. I would have murdered every man, woman, and child in Riverrun. For Cersei. She's hateful. And so am I.
Choices are what seal his fate. Choices that had lasting consequences for the world that he lived in and for those who had known him, as we see in that clip. In the end of the series, Jamie's life comes to an end under a pile of rubble with his sister by his side. As we read about Samson's life, we find out that he falls in love with a woman named Delilah, not knowing that she was an informant for the Philistine officials. And night after night, we read how Delilah pleaded with Samson to tell her what the source of his great strength was, until finally he was broken down and revealed that the strength came from his uncut hair. Samson's love, or you could maybe say desire, for Delilah and his lack of patience with her is what led to his imprisonment by the Philistines. Later in the story, we read how his desire for revenge, and you could maybe argue his desire to win, led to his death. So there is no happy ending for Jamie. There is no happy ending for Samson. We can't tie the ends of the stories in a nice, satisfying bow. These were two men of great strength and prowess. We cheer for them, and we want them to be victorious. And they were also men who didn't always make the best choices. They let their weaknesses get the better of them. And it's easy for us to want to overlook those parts of the stories. These are complicated characters. They're not fully good, and they're not fully bad in any clear-cut ways. I can't leave everybody on a depressing note. That would just be cruel. And so as I examined both of these stories parallel, if I look at it from my heart, I can find the hope. What I see the hope being is that their lives are not less meaningful because they're complicated. Our lives and identities are complex. We all wrestle with the best and worst parts of ourselves. And I'm sure there's been times that any number of us in here, including myself, have felt that our lives were less impactful because of our shortcomings, that we're not worthy of God's grace, or we're not worthy to be a part of the kingdom that he's building. But we also know and believe that God has always called his people to be a part of building the kingdom that he has here on earth, in spite of their shortcomings. There's one final clip that I want to show you. And this is a clip that shows the legacy that Jaime Lannister left behind after his death. Clip, Brienne of Tarth, who was the woman that was in the previous clip, is now the head of King's Guard, and she's going through the book that lists all of the members of the King's Guard. She comes to Jaime Lannister's page. The last entry that was written about him was how he had slayed the Mad King, was forever known as the Kingslayer, served under King Joffrey and King Tommen. And she could have left it there. She could have left the story at that. But instead, she goes through and she writes in the rest of his story, how he was captured, but made an oath to the Starks to return their daughters, how he eventually rode north in an oath and a pledge to help the northern territories fight a fight against some what they call White Walkers. It's way too much for me to explain, but you should watch it. It's great. And then also how he rides south to try and protect the capital, and in consequence, dies protecting his queen. Jaime's legacy could have just been left at him being the Kingslayer and nothing more. But his story didn't stop there. Samson's legacy could have left him as a disgraced leader. But Samson's life and calling as a judge of Israel is a part of the larger story of God's world. The Spirit of God was upon Samson, and God led Samson in defeating the Israelites. So Samson will forever be a part of the legacy of the Israelite people, a leader who was touched by the Holy God. From this we can gather that God's mercy and love is greater and wider than our hearts and minds could ever fully grasp. And God does not hold our humanness against us. God sees our lives as a vital part of the kingdom that he wants to build. Your identity and my identity is not founded just on our negative qualities. It is not founded solely on what we can accomplish. But our identity is rooted in the love of God that embraces our humanity and holds all of us in the great story of his creation. And we, all of us, can honor and serve God by his grace that is within us. My story and your story doesn't end at today. Our stories, collectively and individually, are not finished yet. God has more work to do. There's more to the story. Amen.